I watched the Tenta one, which I didn't understand why John Tenta was on Dark Side of the the Chris Colt one, and I watched Buff. I was thinking about watching Terry Gordy's one tonight.
Chris Colt was great, man.
Hmm?
I have his Portland stuff, but and I have some of his Continental stuff, but I have most of Continental, but mm-hmm. I don't think he was on TV a lot in Continental because I don't remember seeing him there. And I always got Continental, and plus I got it on all on tape on DVD too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, I don't know. It was like, and it had to have been like 87 or something. And I was watching it here in Knoxville in 87. And I don't remember seeing him there.
That Dark Side of the Ring thing too. It's like, Chad, obviously you don't know our dad, but our dad isn't a wrestling fan, but I was talking to him the other day and he's like, hey man. I'm like, yeah. He goes, have you ever watched that Dark Side of the Ring? I'm like, well, yeah. He goes, man, them motherfuckers are crazy. Like, yeah, they're pretty fucking crazy.
It's wrestlers. Like, he likes, man.
Yeah, he likes it because he was like, man, it's like watching, like, you know, because dad's a big football guy. So he's like, it's like watching some of those like 30 for 30s or NFL mm-hmm. things or whatever. They talk about some of the.
Well, and that's why when
crazier athletes or whatever, it's like, man, dad was like, man, I didn't know those guys were like that. I'm like,
well, sometimes when
you don't even fucking know.
That sometimes when the internet wrestling goofs talk about not liking a certain episode of Dark Side or they don't like the way it's produced or whatever, it's like you guys don't have any clue what it's like. They're trying to mass produce this for people, not just for us. They're trying to mass produce this for people that aren't wrestling fans. You know, yeah. It's a TV show. It's not, they aren't going, you know what? We got to make this show so the neckbeards on Twitter really like it. That's not their goal.
Hey, Aaron, don't forget to tell your dad they have a Dark Side of Football.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like he said it was like that, like watching that shit, you know. He's like, but he's retired now, so he's sitting around the house. But he's like, yeah, I watched one episode, and he's like, I got into it. And he's like, I watched like five of them shits in a row. And he was like, I didn't know those guys are that fucking crazy. Yeah, some fucking
Yeah, Sherry had me popping, man, because I got to hang out with her a lot and be friends with her and stuff. And she's crazier than they even told you on that show, dude. She was crazy. She can't drive for shit either. she was a drunk driving motherfucker, I'll tell you that.
What always got me about John Tenta was when I was a kid and Earthquake was on WWF TV, I thought he was like 50.
And it, 45, it turns out, 50 years
it turns
old.
Out, yeah, it turns out during that run, he was like 24 or something. It's like, Jesus Christ.
It was the same way with Boss Man. It's like Boss Man was like 40 when he passed away, you know, and like Rude was 40 when he passed away. It's like, these look like grown ass fucking men. Like I'm 41. And I don't,
look at Terry Gordy. Look at Terry Gordy at like 19. Holy fuck!
wasn't Big Boss Man like 44?
Big Boss Man was 40.
Oh, okay.
I can look it up
because I know Rube was cool, man. 40.
I really liked him a lot. I liked hanging out with him. Like we had other things in common. Like we talked about. He was the owner of a printing company. And I worked in printing, so we talked about printing, and we, you know, we got along pretty good. I actually kind of miss him.
Yeah, Ray Bubba Trailer? Was, but Bubba was 41 when he died.
Like well, it's insane to think him. It's insane to think how much like guys like him and Rude and Hennig and whatnot like packed into that much of their life, like that little of their lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They lived like two or three lives compared to like a normal guy. Fucking nuts.
And I'm still outliving them. I don't question that shit anymore. I'll just be happy I saw tomorrow, if I see tomorrow.
Yeah, that's crazy because that means when Ray Trailer was working with Hulk Hogan, he was like 24.
That's what I'm saying.
Fucking nuts.
Think about what he was working with Dusty and fucking not catching Jim Cornette.
Not catching him.
Well, I'm going to leave all this in, but this week on Reliving the Extreme, we have a short conversation about the episode of ECW from June 4th, 1996. You heard my brother Aaron, you heard Chad Austin, I'm Nate Maxson, your host. And we just did a little discussion about Dark Side of the Ring, but also Aaron has a question for us that he's going to ask as well. Because like we were talking about before we went on the air, it's not that this is a bad episode of ECW, but it's one of those episodes that I just don't have a lot of notes on. We're at a starting point for some things, and some things I wrote down in here are a little long in the tooth. So we will get into all of that. But before we do, Aaron, what was your question that you wanted to pose to Chad and myself? And of course, you're going to answer it as well.
It was three wrestlers that never worked for ECW, but were active during the run of ECW that you think would have been a really good fit.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
You kind of want to do like one at a time.
Oh, that's fine. We could do that.
Yeah. I purposely didn't write down three then, cause I wanted to see like if we could like noodle this like all together,
right?
Kind of thing. I mean, because there's the obvious, you know, the kind of the Jim Cornettes and the Lawlers that did like one off kind of stuff, but you're talking about like full time runs.
Never.
Because the never minute. Appeared. I'll just go first quick. The minute that Aaron sent the question to us in our chat for the group, the first name that came to my mind, and you guys might disagree, you might agree, was Carl Ouellette.
He wasn't on my list, but I could see that. He was a big bump taker. He's a big dude. Yeah, I could see it.
But he wasn't he wasn't really then, was he? I mean, well, he wasn't known for that then, I don't think. But I mean,
well, he had some really
when he was with the Quebecers, he was,
and even though he was doing, even though he was, Brett. Even though he was doing that stupid pirate gimmick, he had some really fucking good matches with Bret Hart. I call 95 like Bret Hart's like year where he had like it was like all comic book villains. He was like his rogues gallery or whatever. It's like he's fighting the dentist and the pirate and the king and the Mr. Bob Backlund. And it's just Bret Hart 1995. He's just wrestling every fucking stupid gimmick that Vince could come up with. It's a comic book villains. But
well,
anyway.
There you go. Bret Hart would have been good in ECW. I mean, they could have definitely did something with him. I had Backlund too.
Yeah, we discussed Backlund last week. He would have if he would have kept that crazy ass gimmick and just rolled it right into ECW. Imagine, like I said, imagine like Bob Backlund interacting with Blue Meanie during Pulp Fiction, or Bob Backlund interacting with the Sandman. You know, good God,
the Dudleys.
I want Bob Backlund to interact with JT Smith.
What did you say? No, really. What did you say?
As Bob's looking through his thesaurus or dictionary, while JT's just saying regular words, and Bob's got to look them up. He has no idea. But Backlund would have been great. I mean, Carlos Colon, he would have been a great fit in ECW. I don't know about how long he would have lasted, but you know, with the blood and gut shit. I mean, I just jotted down just a couple of names. Killer Khan, I thought would have been great.
Imagine imagine the ECW crowd reacting to Killer Khan screaming.
Yeah. Just him coming out, man. Like if you did like the Japanese, like walk to the ring, like kind of like with the swinging of the chair, like Brody kind of shit. Like
with the big Hershey kiss on his head.
Yeah. His little Jew cap. But I thought Killer Khan would have been great. I the first thing I thought of, the first thing popped in my head was pretty much anybody that worked for Carlos Colon, like Mighty Igor would have been great. Crowd would have loved Mighty Igor Dudley. The Polish Prince of Penis. That would have been something.
Who was somebody you had, Aaron?
It's somebody that I think I mentioned before when we had a question of just like one guy, but and he's the top guy on my list, and I think he would have been perfect in ECW as Haku.
Thank God.
Fucking perfect.
Hopefully he would have been after my run. I mean, if I thought New Jack killed me, God, I did not want to be a job guy for Haku in ECW. No, sorry, Bob.
Like, I think that guy would have fucking ran the goddamn territory, I think.
Dude, could you imagine primetime Brian Lee setting up Haku for that chokeslam off the stage to the tables? and Haku just looking down and going, that's not happening.
Not happening, brother. Not happening, brother.
Something tells me Brian Lee was going through the tables. What about a guy like Bill Dundee? How do you think he would have done there?
I think Bill would have been I think he would have done good, but I think he would have been better as a manager worker.
So let's say it's 94-95. Yeah, that makes me think, what if you resurrect that short-lived team of Bill Dundee and Buddy Landell in ECW?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's put that in the ECW Pulp Fiction montage with Bubba on the phone. That's all you need right there is the Bill and Buddy show.
Who you calling, Daddy?
Yeah. Buddy Landell. But we got the Tommy Riches like later on and all, but but it's too bad they were already like way past their primes, But
Harley Race, also putting Buddy Landell into the ECW locker room might have killed him quicker than he actually died. Let's be honest.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Bill Dundee came to mind, but around that time, wasn't he doing the stuff with Steven Regal?
Yeah.
Yeah,
what I'm saying. Like, I think in ECW it would have been like him doing that with a guy, but also like working. I would imagine him and being a group and kind of like what Tommy Rich was with the full blooded Italians, where he was just kind of a working manager. I think I don't know who he'd be with.
Here's one that nobody would have ever, I know you guys would have never thought of it, but a guy like Grizzly Boone, he would have been good. Cause he was still doing the Brody stuff. And he was a big guy that could still do stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was a nobody. Basically, he was just an independent guy, around that time, kind of working in Georgia and shit like that. But I thought he would have been a good fit. And Bob Armstrong, of course, seriously.
After Pierre, the second name I wrote down, and again, we're talking about Paulie can afford these people. Like you have to take some things out of consideration. Like can with this, when you're going into a scenario like this, but what about Vader?
I don't think Vader would have done it. Honestly.
Don't think Bam Bam could have convinced him to come in for a little bit?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I'm sure he would have came in and did a couple of spots, but I just don't see him wanting to be there like for any length of the time.
Vader murders El Puerto Ricano in the ECW arena.
And Chad,
I can see him having what. I could see it being kind of like how Sid was, where it'd be like maybe like just a cup of coffee and he's just there in between something or whatever, but I don't see it being a long term thing.
I still now I'm really curious and really intrigued about Bill Dundee and Buddy Landell. That would have been just something else, man. God damn. Put them in the FBI. That'd be awesome too.
Yeah, Mama Mia, Daddy.
Yeah, there's just like I would have loved to have seen Onita around longer. Or was he even in ECW? Did Onita ever work there? Besides that, no, he did ICW, right?
I don't know if I don't think he ever did ECW. And I mean, he might have been when they went over to Japan. Maybe.
I don't think so, because they went over to Japan and they worked with War.
Okay. Didn't he? Wasn't he there? I swear he was there when we were talking about when the headhunters and shit were there, wasn't he?
No, because that was Wing.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean the only time because when they were in Japan, they were working with Nagasaki's group over there, and that was NOW. So really, yeah, I don't think Onita, I don't think there would have been, they crossed paths at all. But shit, Onita and ECW in like 96, man, that would have been some shit right there, dude. Because he was over in 96.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a slew of guys.
The other name, okay, so Aaron said three and I wrote three down. And then, of course, as we talk, you come up with more. But I wrote down Pierre. I wrote down Vader. The other name I wrote down as a possibility is Scott Norton.
Oof. God. Thank God I was gone by this time.
Yeah, well, I know we're bringing God in all these fucking bruisers. But, I mean, if you could have got Norton versus Bam Bam in the ECW arena or, I think the matchups for Norton are endless in that company.
Brian Lee would have been decent.
Yeah, I could see Norton in ECW.
Hell, after watching Dark Side, I would love to have seen Chris Colt. That would have been some shit. He was actually still alive till then, right? Technically, he was alive in 96. He didn't die till 97, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
So yeah, he could have did a short run there. What about John Norton? Yeah, the possibilities are endless. The more that we peel it back, yeah, there's some classics there. But yeah, we came up with three good solid ones, I think.
Well, I have two more.
Okay, sure, man.
It's kind of funny because you brought up Carlos and talking about guys working in Puerto Rico. I think Savio Vega would have worked in ECW.
As TNT?
Just as TNT or Savio, however you're going to do it. Just the guy himself, I think he would have fit in.
God, you were trying to get me killed. God, thank God I wasn't working there this time while we were watching this and booking it. I would have quit. There's no chance I would have taken them beatings in ECW if of all these guys are there. Holy shit. Now, if you would have put like Snake Brown in there, I'd work there. Buddy Rose.
Did you? And then, Nate, did you have another one?
No, I wrote those three down, and then Buddy Landell just came to my mind when Chad said Bill Dunn.
Well, and the last one I got, and this might be the one where you guys kind of like, I don't know, shit on it or whatever, but I honestly think Paul Orndorff would have been a good...
Oh, again! Jesus, God, again, I'm glad I was gone. Gee, God, Paul Orndorff against me in ECW? Nah. That's okay.
I think Paul Orndorff would have killed it in ECW, man. He would have been great, I think.
Yeah, he would have killed me in ECW. Oh, dude, like this time in 1996 with so much talent that's out there. I mean, like going from just going to the Bret Harts to all the way to the, you know, Pierres and that stuff. Like, you know, you can go in either direction because ECW is giving you so much of everything. I can't wait till we get into the, she's at the beginning anyway. So
like, I just think like a Paul Orndorff that goes back to like, you know, not shaving his beard and his chest and just being rugged fucking Paul Orndorff would have been great.
Just call me stupid and say I have a bad memory if I get this wrong. you can tell me, yes, he was there. Yes, he did some shit. Did Steve Williams ever work ECW?
Yeah.
He ends up, he fights Raven. We're going to be coming up on that a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember when he came out, he had that that red hood on. And it took the majority of the fans like a few seconds to put it together. But the real hardcore people knew who it was as soon as he walked through the curtain. And we're like, oh, shit. Somebody's about to get their wig split. Mark Henry? He did work for ECW at the end.
That the ECW where the title belt looked like a hubcap? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a ton of guys, man. That would have been great, dude. And then because look at the way ECW was going in this direction anyway. When we get to the Taz stuff, all the UFC guys.
What if you this is how about this for hijinks? You announce that somebody's going to be present in the ECW arena, and they announce him, and they bring out Bob Sparkplug Holly. And the ECW arena is totally shitting on him because he's Bob Sparkplug Holly. And then he proceeds to lay waste to all kind. Like, you didn't know at the time what a badass Bob Holly was, but how about introducing him into ECW?
Yeah. Yeah. He would have hurt some people. A he Dutch just, Mantel.
He just fucks up Ian Rotten.
Yay. And the crowd went wild. Yay.
No, that was the locker room.
They're throwing babies.
The locker room be popping for that. Shit, yeah. I mean, like I said, going into that UFC stuff, man, you could have brought in guys like Chemo. Chemo would have been a great crossover guy there. Because I think he may have did one or two matches in California, but nothing. He wasn't any good. It was like one of them crossover matches and stuff. But yeah, them UFC guys, they would have been pretty good too. Especially in 96, because 96 with wrestling was just so all over the place. Shows everywhere, you know? Like, everybody was running in 96.
And well, 96 and 97 are crazy because other than WCW, because they had become, you know, the standard bearer, the biggest promotion or whatever, they kind of overtook Vince for a couple of years. Even Vince, from Vince to Heyman to everybody in the indies, everybody everywhere, everybody was just throwing shit against the wall to see what the next thing in wrestling is going to be. Like, how, you know, it's time for this business to change. How do we change it? And I don't know. They're like 96 and 97 are two of my favorite years in wrestling to watch for almost every promotion.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say so. I think 96 was
a WCW good. Even. I mean, like you said, like everybody's throwing shit up against the wall to see what sticks. Like WCW is still doing it too. Like until they, to their detriment, decided that the NWO thing was the way to go. The NWO was still going on, but they still had like the Horsemen and the Cruiserweights, and they were throwing a bunch of shit out there too. Like their show seemed schizophrenic, and so did WWF and ECW's all over the fucking place. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great time, 96. I think I honestly think it was one of my personal best years. Like I know I had a great time. I had the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
In 96. That was one of my favorite years to work in, because that's what I was working for everybody. I was all over the place in 96. Well, started in 95, but carried over, yeah.
So unless you guys have any other names, Aaron, did you have one left?
No, it was just Haku, Savio, and Paul Orndorff. Those were the first three that popped in my mind.
Yeah, we can do an hour on these guys, on just anybody that should have been there.
I'm going to... If I'm booking it, they're gonna fight Chad.
All in one TV taping.
Yeah, it's a gauntlet. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but we got 6 TV tapings in 1 week, so
yeah, it's all. And where's Chad at? Paul would have flew me in from Memphis just for that tapings.
And in the main event, Here he comes, Stan Hansen versus Chad Austin.
Dude, no, that wouldn't have happened.
I was a fat wife and a fat kid at home.
It's a handicap match.
What make me handicap match?
It's a handicap match. It's Paul Orndorff and Haku versus Chad Austin.
Yeah, great. No.
And the only person that has to tag is Chad. The other guys can just be in there together.
Yeah. You could have brought like 10 people out there to be my partners, and as I crawl over, one of them drops off the apron at the time until there's none left.
And dirt bike kids like, nah.
Nah, that's all right. Chad's doing all right.
El Puerto Ricano, Santa Maria, and he just leaves.
Yeah, thank God Chad was gone. But that was a pretty good list.
Yeah, yeah. The episode of ECW we're discussing is June 4th, 1996. We get an intro from Joey Styles in the ring. He's in the ECW arena, and he introduces us to Stevie Richards and Raven, who come out. Of course, Stevie discusses the mission that Raven put him on to find the biggest skank, the skankiest woman. And Stevie Richards brings out a girl who I had to look up to remind myself why she was even relevant.
He found her at a mission, probably.
Divine Brown. I totally forgot why she was relevant. I had to look it up.
That's because she sucked. Yeah,
if Joey wouldn't have said it, I wouldn't know who she was. I was just like, who?
I remember because he went on the Leno show, and when he like after that, and it was like his first appearance after that, and he sat down, and Leno looked at him, and she's like, "What the hell were you thinking?" But that's the only reason I remembered her.
Well, she was, yeah. I mean, I guess she was over for a minute. Yeah, but Yeah, that was nothing going on with that.
The main thing I have is when she got in the ring, she looked like a fucking baby deer that just got born when she was trying to fucking walk around.
She looked like a whore Willow Nightingale. That's what I got out of it.
And she just kept wobbling her fucking legs because she couldn't walk in the ring in heels, and fucking Stevie had to pick her up. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
They tried to get her. They tried to open the ropes up for her to go to do the girl entrance, but yeah, she came in like a guy.
Yeah,
like they tried to let her in the ring like a chick, and she's like, "Oh, fuck all this." Divine Brown.
This is a fucking train wreck.
And essentially, Raven says that this prostitute is not skanky enough.
He shoots on her.
Yeah, she hasn't been with. He was like, she hasn't been with enough guys. It's like, have you seen her try to walk? She has.
Yeah, Raven. I wrote down Raven's shot on her.
Yeah, he did the old Vince McMahon.
I wonder how many guys in the locker room actually shot on her that night.
And the shot on her, literally.
Yeah. It's like I was trying to think of the locker room. How many guys tried? And how many guys actually got to? I was like, I know Bill Alfonso probably tried.
Oh, he got her. Oh, there's no doubt Bill Alfonso got her. Yeah, he was famous for the whores.
Probably Devon.
Devon Dick. Yeah, but she was on. But like literally, she was like only hot for like that. Like I knew it was a one and done. Because after they introduced her, and then I had to realize who she was. I was like, "Yeah, this is just because she's in the news right now."
Yeah, but I'm sure she had loads of fun. But yeah, like Chad said and Aaron said, this was stupid. I mean, it was. I guess I understand the purpose. It's you're essentially looking. Paulie's looking at this like, oh well. I mean, this is the way Howard Stern gets attention. Bringing these freaks and these, you know, these idiots that are big for a couple of seconds on in the national stage for something disgusting or something stupid or something controversial.
And I'm sure it didn't cost him. You know, it wasn't a big name was bringing in, so I'm sure he promised her TV time and some dick, and she was coming in.
Hugh Grant only gave her $40.
What, did he bang her in Memphis? Did Hugh Grant work for Lawler too?
She rode in with JT Smith and a Corsica. It's yeah.
Jobber.
Well, after this, after the abortion of Raven and Divine Brown,
she's not a jobber. She's a gobbler.
Guzzler.
Joey Styles tells us what's coming up on today's show. And then we get, this is a very Taz heavy show. And I get it. You're trying to build up Taz because you're going to start working the program with Taz and Sabu. But they bring out a fighter or a Muay Thai. Is that what he was? Or Taekwondo or Taekwon Thai or some shit. Some martial art guy named Jason Helton.
It was Job Can't Do.
Mugu Guy Pan, yeah.
A black belt and Job Can Do.
Here comes Jason Szechuan Helton.
I never heard of him.
Two Wong Two. Thanks for nothing, Julie Newmar or whatever. It's like, fuck this guy. This shit went for fucking ever.
But the match was only about 15 seconds.
The segment was fucking brutal. But I'll let you guys talk about it. No.
Dude, Tez dumped that piece of garbage on his head. God damn, dude. I noticed they were doing they started doing a lot more replays like around this time, and just watching him dump that jabroni on his head, and you can just see where he just landed, right on the top of his head. And I was just like, God damn, Jason Harvey, whatever his name is. Jason Hambone.
And it's not even just knocking ECW. Anytime professional wrestling, any type of professional wrestling promotion tries to do anything where they're like, oh, we're going to have a shoot fight, or we're going to have a brawl for all, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. It doesn't fucking work. Because then you're taking the kayfabe out of it or whatever. You know, it's like, oh, this is a shoot fight, so this one's real.
Yeah, everything else on the show's bullshit. Yeah,
I don't like it. No matter what company did it, and they all tried to do it. It's fucking stupid.
That's why I'm not a fan of work shoots either. All like Vince Russo's work shoot stuff, because it's like, well, everything else on this show is bullshit except this. This is real. And you can't have it both ways. You can't. It just doesn't work. It's stupid.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, they bring that up. They bring that up today in the current product. If you watch AEW, like Jim Ross will say that stuff. Like, you know, what's the difference between this no contest or no DQ match and every other one?
Right.
There is no DQs. Yeah, but him dropping that sack of shit on his head was that was something else, man. It was so good that there was no way they could not show it again. Mm-hmm. They had to show it again. He beat the crap out of that poor guy. Like, I don't think he did anything afterwards.
My thing is, if they wouldn't have said this is a shoot fight, if they would have just said, this is Taz and he's an extreme wrestler, and this is Jason Holton, whatever his fucking name was, and he's a Muay Guy Pan guy, and we're going to put him in there and see who fucking wins, I would have been fine with that. But the minute they're like, oh, this is a shoot fight, it's a real competition, that's where I was just like, fuck it. I don't like this.
Yes, it's Taz versus Szechuan in a stir-fry shoot fight. Just doesn't work.
By any chance, did you guys catch the first one or two knees that Jason Herzog gave him? Like when the match first started? He tried to start out with the Muay Thai stance kind of thing, and then when Taz came in, he went to deliver like two knees to the body, and they were brutal. he threw him like he was going to hit him, but he just moved his leg to where he just kind of touched him on the side, like, because I guess he didn't know how to like pull the kick or not hurt him, so he just kind of like touched him on the side, and I was like, man, this guy's terrible. He stunk.
It was funny when Bill Alfonso was like yelled at the guy, "Fight back, you skinny ass!" Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah, didn't he say he's gonna dump him on his head too?
I think so.
Yeah, everybody knew the outcome of that one.
Yeah,
but that was just a setup for what we have next. I mean, what they were really built to do.
Which is more bullshit.
I hope you guys know the story about this, what's coming up.
Well, I know how they got him the job.
So
did you guys know about the Paul Varlin situation?
It was messy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard it. It's one of the funniest things ever.
It's one of wrestling's great screw jobs.
Yeah, literally.
It wasn't even really a screw job. Yeah.
he got screwed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He got screwed, but not literally.
Like that just goes to show you how bad. Like I was telling my mom earlier, we were watching. Well, she was here when I was watching it, and I was like, you know, this guy right here, they're saying that he's like a really bad dude, like Taz. And I'm like, Taz is one of the nicest guys in the world. And he's not really a legitimate like shoot fighter. And Paul Rollins would have murdered him in a real fight. So no wonder that Paul had to bribe Paul with sex from Missy Hyatt. Missy Hyatt has a room. Was it Missy Hyatt, the Walking Riot? Like he had to bribe Missy to sleep with him. So he's like, put over Taz. That's, if I was Taz, I'd be embarrassed that Paul had to do that.
For those of you that don't know the story, essentially Missy, if I get it wrong, let me know. But Missy said that if Paul Varlins would job to Taz, she'd give him a blowjob. And then when he jobbed to Taz, she said, I don't blow jobbers, right? I don't blow jabronis.
Yeah, I don't blow jobbers. Yeah, I don't blow jabronis. God, he like destroyed the locker room.
He did?
That's what I read is he was like, all right, I did my job. Now do yours. And she's like, I don't blow jobbers. And he got so mad, like he ripped up the locker room.
Where was Taz at then?
Probably getting a blowjob from Missy.
I don't think so, brother.
It's like, well, Divine Brown's out front if you want to.
I know.
She's not out front.
They could have just had Divine Brown go up to Paul Rollins and hand him the envelope with nothing in it.
She is by the Applebee's dumpster.
Yeah, what a whore.
She's out front. The fuck?
When I say what a whore, I mean you could pick one.
Divine Brown has never done anything out front.
So like Aaron said, this segment goes on and on and on forever with Taz challenging somebody to come out or to fight him after he pretty much jobs out this Jason Helton guy who, like Chad said, he drops on his fucking dome like.
Yes, he does.
But and then Paul Varlins is in the crowd trying to accept Taz's challenge, and then they just continually are just pulling them. I don't even know if they even made contact, but they're continually
pulling them apart. They're pulling him away. That's the other thing I didn't like about it was Taz is like, come on, fight me. And they're having to pull that guy away, but Taz isn't actually going at him.
No, you know, dude, I looked at it completely different. I thought Taz did a great job of saying, just get in here. Like, all you got to do is get in here, brother, you know? And I, like I said, no one like in real life Taz. And I thought he did a great job of making himself sound believable. Like, he made me for that moment believe like he was going to beat the shit out of this guy. You know what I'm saying? And because like I said, Taz wasn't beating Paul Wallen up. That wasn't really going to happen in real life, but that made me believe. I thought he did a great job.
I think it was like he did a great job as being like a heel because nobody was holding him back, but it was like taking like 40 guys to hold this fucking Paul Varlin's guy back. I think it would have been better as like an actual pull apart.
No, man. See, I disagree. Because in actuality, because Paul Varlin was a guest or whatever and he had a ticket, he was still a fan. So Taz was like, just let him go. Let him get in the ring and I'll beat his ass. So it made like Taz stood his ground saying, this is my domain. This is my home. I will whip your ass.
I can see that part of it too. But the other part, in my opinion, was I kind of lost interest in it though, because it's like it went forever.
He had to go on for a while.
It just went way too long.
Well, speaking of going way too long, oof.
And then they recap it later.
Yes. Joey Styles hypes the Taz versus Varlins kind of thing. And then speaking of going too long, as I mentioned something about something going long in the tooth when we started out the show. I am tired of Tommy Dreamer and Brian Lee and the Bruise Brothers. I'm tired of it. I want it to be over so bad. Just stop. It's enough.
Yep.
Put upon Tommy a new name to this because I saw he did it last week. He was trying to do a new look and he's Tommy No Sleeves.
Oh, is that what he's doing now?
Yeah, he's got no sleeves. He's trying to
look over there. It's Tommy No Sleeves. Look at him over there.
Yeah, it's like, Tommy No Sleeves. It's like, hey, I'd be like, hey, Tommy, do people with no feet wear shoes? And he'd be like, no. Well, would people with no hands wear gloves? And he'd be like, no. Like, then why are you wearing a muscle shirt?
Well, Tommy No Sleeves. My question to you is during this match, you know, being that it was a typical brawl, Joey Styles makes a comment that I don't have any idea. Like, I don't know where it came from, but he says that Tommy Dreamer swings a chair better than Ken Griffey Jr. Was there an incident with Ken Griffey Jr. swinging chairs?
I heard that too.
Did he mean home runs?
Like, I think he was trying to, like, compare it to a bat, but it was like, it didn't
work. He should have said that then.
Dude, yeah, that's what I'm
saying. He swings a chair better than Ken Griffey swings a bat, but I don't remember... Yeah. Ken Griffey running out and like fucking hitting anybody with a chair.
Standing at home plate, like where they tap the bat on the home plate, he's tapping a chair there.
And a chair.
And he's looking down at the third base coach and he's telling him to choke up on the chair. Yeah. Because I almost wanted to go look it up in Google and see if there was an incident with Ken Griffey Jr. in a chair. Because that's exactly what I thought of. I was like, wait, where does this come from? It was stupid.
This match is Tommy Dreamer.
It would have worked better if he would have said, like, oh, Tommy swings a chair better than Bobby Knight. It's like, at least that would have made sense. Bobby Knight used to fucking throw chairs around and shit. But yeah, it didn't make sense with ran up Ken Griffey.
And I only know Bobby Knight is a jobber for the WWE. Because he came out of Maryland.
Well, this match is
that's what I would have thought of, Aaron, if you would have said something about Bobby Knight. Like, he knows street heat, Bobby Knight? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, the match is Dreamer and the Pitbulls against Brian Lee and the Bruise Brothers in an elimination match. Did I miss something in the commentary about the title shot deal? Because was it just that the winner of this match was going to get a title shot?
They said it at the very beginning. Like, as a matter of fact, they may have said it not before the match, when Joey was like talking about what was coming up, but they didn't really hype it.
Joey just said that Stevie Richards said if any of Tommy or the Bulls survived to the end, they'd get a guaranteed shot against Raven.
So if Dreamer and the Pitbulls all would have survived, it would have been a four-way for the title with Dreamer, the Pitbulls against Raven for the title. I don't know. I guess I was like, did I miss something in commentary? Because the premise here doesn't make any fucking sense. Because you're not guaranteed a sole survivor, you know? I don't know. Whatever. It is wrestling. Whatever. I'm applying logic to an illogical situation.
Nate, you're watching a show where a hooker walked out and fumbled around like a gazelle. And then fucking Stevie Richards held her like a baby while she cut a promo about sucking Raven's dick.
But her big head, big Willow Nightingale ass. Slob.
Yeah.
Think about it too much. All right. That, fucking that Raven, fat chick. That, don't that think Raven about on... it too much. Just do it.
That Raven DDT though, Raven on the stage was good. Or like where he drops them, like that, you know. That was pretty cool.
Mm.
Like they had a couple of good spots, but like again, I hate when there's so much going on. Like I would have just rather like it sucks when the action is happening behind the hard cam. That makes sense because you got to go to like another shot from somebody out front of the camera, mm-hmm. like a handheld or something to see it. When it's right there on the stage, if the camera was on a swivel or something.
Well, and I know that they're not. I know in 1996 they weren't making these shows so they could say, "Boy, I hope for 30 years ago or 30 years from now, there's going to be these guys that want to do a podcast and take notes on our show." I know they weren't thinking that, but these matches are so. I say it every week, but they're so hard to take notes on because sometimes you're flipping from, you know. Dreamer's over here fighting Brian Lee, and one of the Bruise Brothers is over here with Pitbull too, and so they're flashing from fight to fight or whatever. And it's just I don't know; it's now, hard to take notes on the match itself.
And now there's the two random rats making out, and then Raven DDTs them, and it's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, but was it Raven or was it Dreamer that gave Raven the plunger to the puss? When I heard that, I laughed because like Joey Styles has had to say, he gives him a puncher to the puss. And Tommy's done. That shocked me too. That Tommy was eliminated. Well, he was like eliminated early, right?
Yeah, and it was kind of almost like they played it up like he essentially got eliminated by accident.
Yeah, but his character also like he went through those two tables and then got eliminated, so he didn't get fucked up before it.
He got posted too. They're still beating up his balls.
I know we mocked Tommy or whatever, but that fucking choke slam he took, that was to those two tables, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. That's another spot I wouldn't want to take.
Like visually, I thought it looked cool because he also like he hit his arm off the other table, like that was sitting there or whatever. It looked killer. I liked that part.
Tommy is done, is what I wrote.
Well, Pitbull 2 winds up being the sole survivor of this match, and of course they say, and Joey said that the winner's going to get a title shot down the line, and Raven says, well,
it's down the line.
It's down the line now, so Raven wants the instant title defense against Pitbull 2, and of course Raven retains against Pitbull 2. Good heel move.
The infamous loaded boot.
Yes.
That Joey Styles says was spring loaded. like what?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, he said it's got to be some sort of spring loaded mechanism in his boot. And I'm thinking like.
Is Raven's got to stomp it before he hits it or whatever?
I just thought of Raven getting his boots from the Acme Corporation.
It was, because I know it wasn't Bill Ash. Because I know that Bill Ash is not going to make a set of boots where one of them has a spring-loaded mechanism in it with a piece of lead or something in it. Because the way Raven made it, if you paid attention or if you knew, like if they made more of a deal about it, if you look at Raven's boots, one of his boots did have a higher, like it's called like a riser for the sole.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he wore it, sometimes it was black and sometimes it was white, like the sole part. But yeah, it was there's the one boot that he uses has a higher sole on it.
Are his legs different lengths? That's a serious question. It's a serious question. I'm not making a joke.
It's not a joke because they even brought it up when he got WCW, like when he first started there. That was part of his gimmick.
And then he's got one leg shorter than the other.
Yeah, and it might be true. It's probably because of the complications from his gout.
Well, if they what did they cut off? you can't cut his leg off at some point and super glue it back together. You would have had to have taken off like layers of skin off his foot or something. I mean, I don't know how you make somebody's leg shorter without making it noticeable.
He had to go to see Dr. Vinny Boombot.
Yeah.
In the WCW lore of it, it was just the fact that he was born that way. Like, he just had a
one leg shorter than the other. Oh, that's a wrestling. That's Dark Side of the Ring coming up next season.
Yeah.
About Raven's feet. But it was good. I mean, it was a good brawl. I mean, I thought we already didn't we already start correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we already start to see like the Pitbull 2 like push? Or is it starting now?
I think it's starting now because I think isn't Gary Wolf, isn't Pitbull 1 at this point like legit injured?
Well, have we seen the his Halo arm yet?
Fucked up. No, we're not at Halo yet. Oh, that's okay, what he so starts then with Shane. But his arm's fucked up. And I was just gonna say this is kind of like even though he lost to Raven, it was kind of like we know Gary Wolf's arm's fucked up. We want to keep this feud going. And I think obviously Paulie saw something in Pitbull 2. This was kind of like Pitbull 2's like coming out party, you know.
All right, so because Dreamer's going to be locked in his little Brian Lee thing going on, Gary's going to be gone. So yeah, I guess they had to find a way to elevate to you know get him in that spot because he was the only one that was kind of healthy. Plus, you could Taz him on his head all day long, and he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, and he looks fucking awesome. You know, it's like yeah, I think that's what this was to me was this was them saying like, I think we might be able to get something out of Pitbull too, so let's make him look like a fucking $1 million. Because
well, everybody knew he was a badass anyway.
Yeah, and like he survived to the end. He beat two guys, and after that, he went like 12 minutes with Raven, and it took Raven to cheat to have to beat him. Yeah, this was them setting the seeds to try to do something with Pitbull too.
Yeah, he was a legitimate, you know. I mean, everybody's seen those spots where he took the spot over the top rope and landed on his head on the floor and stuff like that, you know. And he got back up and all he did was shake it off. And it was like, how the hell is this guy like? He's like Pierre, whatever Olet. Like you can't hurt him. Pitbull CO.
Well, right at the beginning of the match, that fucking press slam or whatever they took to the table, that looked fucking great.
Yeah, I guess you're right though. I never really looked at it that way. Like that, hey, you got to take everybody out of the equation, and you just got Pitbull number two left. So yeah, they got to do something with him. But I thought we'd already seen the push, but I guess you're right.
Now this is them. It's kind of like Paul just testing the waters, see if the people react to him, and they were reacting to him really well. So,
well, they already knew I mean, his legend has already been there. From everybody knew him from being a local guy there anyway, that he is a legitimate badass. And then he proved it, you know, multiple times by getting killed and just getting back up and not selling anything. So it's built in right there, and he's the only one healthy. So good. Why not?
And then we end the show with a Brian Lee promo talking about his choke slam.
It ain't the choke slam anymore, fella.
Oh yeah.
I thought this was them doing what we're doing now. Trying to squeeze an hour out of this.
It was. And it was dumb because he was like the powerbomb guy started ECW. Killed by everybody else, but now I'm bringing it back, and I'm calling it the Primetime Bomb.
No, the Primetime Slam.
Primetime Slam.
Prime
it was time? Like a is it? He should have the better name would have been what he called his move when he was in Smoky Mountain. Like that would like the better name would have been the Cancellation. That's just not, I mean, that might be me being thinking too much of it, but yeah, I was like, Primetime Slam, stupid.
Yeah, dude, that's, it is like, it sounds like something NBC would promote for a Thursday night.
Yeah, the it's monster like, truck show.
Roller derby. And Dr. Science.
Or one of those shows WWF would do on a Sunday right before WrestleMania or whatever when Raw was preempted.
Oh, Todd Pettengill?
Yeah, Todd Pettengill in the prime time. Todd Pettengill and Doc Hendricks on the prime time slam.
Tom Pettengill and Charlie Min here with the prime time slam.
Charlie Min. Jesus Christ.
Was that the girl?
No, that was Stephanie. No, that was Wyatt.
Stephanie Wyatt.
They would throw them all out there. The whole goal.
Joe Fowler's here too, folks.
Vic Venom.
Bro.
What's his Ed Ferreira or whatever his name is? Oklahoma. I would have been much happier if they would have given Divine Brown the primetime slam.
So one of the funniest things ever was after, it's stupid, after the WWF deal and after WCW went out of business and everything, I don't know why I found it so hilarious that Ed Ferrara had dreadlocks.
Yeah, he wound up in TNA.
Yeah.
He was like my favorite, 50s.
My favorite thing about that guy was they were like, when people started shit-talking Vince and Ed after they left, like Cornette was like, yeah, they brought in the guy that wrote Duckman. And Ed Ferrara was like, he said I wrote Duckman. I didn't write Duckman. I wrote Weird Science.
Well, at least I heard it, Duckman.
They both suck, dude. Like,
was Weird Science a show besides a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. They tried to do Weird Science on the USA Network, and he was like, I did Weird Science, not Duckman. Like,
that was George Costanza, wasn't he, Duckman?
Yeah.
Well, Ed Ferrara sucks.
And to end the show, the ECW show this week, they tell us that next week we're going to see Brian Pillman. And then I think that one
can that
thing
be the name of the episode? Can that be the name of the episode?
Ed Ferrara sucks. Writing it down.
How many times are they going to tease us with Brian Pillman? I feel like they've been teasing him for weeks.
They have. At least three. This is at least the third week that they've said, we're going to see Brian Pillman after his accident. This will be the first appearance of Brian Pillman after his accident.
Remember, they were waiting to see if he'd wake up.
I wonder if he does. If he does actually show up.
And then at the end of the show, I wrote down a note for this just to bring it up. At the end of the show, they showed the Dudley's footage from last week with the payphone deal. And then they just essentially spent 4 minutes showing us footage from the show we just watched. Pulp Fiction was sorely missed this week.
Well, at least I know why they reran the Dudley's payphone footage. That was just for my own laughter and enjoyment. they should do that every single week, man. I'm telling
and
you.
And they should show the car scene. Yes,
every single week. I'm telling you. I'd watch 57 minutes of whatever they want to show me, anything, just so I can get to the end of that show.
Joey Styles is like, at the end of our show, as we do every week, ladies and gentlemen, we present the Dudley Boys and Yakety Sacks.
Oh my God! Because at one point, doesn't Devon come chasing Bubba out the door again?
Of course.
but this time they don't show him running back and forth. He just runs out. And doesn't he go back and pick the phone up to see if he's talking
and
to anybody?
Bubba has the greatest fat guy run ever.
Bubba runs away. Devon picks up the phone. Down syndrome Dudley's in his wheelchair trying to yell at Devon. And
he was yelling. I don't know what the hell he was saying, but he was just sitting there.
I gave this episode of the show. Actually, I gave it a C. This is to me, this is the, I don't want to say it wasn't, I mean, it's not bad, but it, for ECW, this was the worst show we've seen in months.
But I thought it was, I thought it was highly entertaining.
I got everything they were trying to do with Taz. I got everything they were trying to do with the six man. I know who's, I can see they're trying to start new programs and push new people and et cetera, et cetera. But I just did not find myself enjoying this episode as much as I have the recent episode.
Yeah, I actually kind of liked it. I mean, I thought it had action.
Mm-hmm.
It had plenty of comedy, whether or not they knew it or not at the time. Jason Hervey. I mean, it had everything this show that we do needs. I'll tell you that for sure.
Okay, yeah. For an episode of ECW, I give it a C. For an episode of ECW for review purposes for this show, I give it an A.
Yes, at least a solid B, a B plus even. Yeah, because it definitely had its ups and downs for sure.
For me, it was like a half a pizza that you forgot to eat the night before. Like, it's still good, but it's not as good as it was.
It would have been the next day pizza then.
Yeah, it was next day pizza.
Yeah, it was the cold pizza.
Wasn't that another cold pizza show too?
Did Ed Ferreira book that show as well?
Old pizza with Ed Ferreira.
He smells like old pizza with Ed Ferreira.
Not old pizza, cold pizza.
Oh, he also smells like cold pizza.
Or he smells like Bobby Heenan. I think Ed Ferreira smells like Bobby Heenan said that Jameson said. Bobby Heenan. I think he smells like what Bobby Heenan said Jameson smelled like.
Which was?
He smelled like old socks and a Buick.
Do you ever watch that TV show, Mom?
I've seen some of it, yeah.
Well, if you ever catch it, go into DVR and just see, and when you see it's coming on, just look at the name of the episode. Because they name them kind of like the way we're naming these shows. You really don't know where, like, how it all ties into it, whatever. It's just, it has the so-and-so and the so-and-so. And you just laugh at the titles, and you're like, what is this going to do with anything, you know? Old pizza and a Buick.
All right, so the name of this episode is Ed Ferreira, Old Pizza, and a Buick.
Yeah. That's gonna be on.
It's like a Mad Lib. Like, what are we doing here?
That's gonna be on at 1:30 this morning on whatever channel Mom comes on, CMT. Old pizza and a Buick. Love it. Yeah, I gave it a B, man. Just for entertainment. Because the wrestling wasn't all that spectacular. Don't get me wrong on that. But it had its ups and downs.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, you can see seeds being planted for new rivalries and new stories. And there are some stories that are maybe dragging on a little too long. But there's definitely a lot of development going on. And there was even stuff they didn't cover this week. There was no Shane Douglas. There was no Too Cold.
Nope.
So, I mean, there's other stuff going on too. So it's one episode of a TV show, and it was fine.
And technically, we didn't get any squash matches. Like, no, like, you know, no Chad Austins, no El Porto Ricanos, none of that. Right. Like, guys,
mm-hmm.
It was all name matches except for Jason Hervey, whatever his name is. But they really could have put anybody out there and said he was a shoot fighter.
Well, I was reading while we were, because I didn't know anything about this Jason Helton guy, and I was reading just while we were doing the show. Apparently, he trained in the dungeon.
That's what they said.
And the reason he got his shot in ECW was actually because he was recommended by Chris Jericho to Paul Heyman. So thanks a lot, Chris Jericho.
Oh, that was a rib, dude. That was Jericho on his way out ribbing him. Hey, Paul, you got to use this turn. Turd.
That guy,
oh, no,
either that, turd. That or that that guy owed Jericho money. He was like, hey.
Old pizza and a Buick.
Well, he should build Gordon Lightfoot or whatever his fucking name was.
Gordon Lightfoot? That's what they should be calling, talking about Raven's foot. Raven's right foot.
Gordon Thunderfoot.
Oh, no. Here we go. I thought the show was over.
It is. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week on Reliving the Extreme. If you have not yet, if you are on the Facebook, go ahead and check us out on the WNR Podcast Network on Facebook. We do have a group there where we like to talk about wrestling and just little posts that anybody can have any conversations, just a little bit of fun there. I post all the shows there as well.
Hey, can I say one thing as I close out? Because I do want to speak about somebody who's doing me a very big favor, and I just want to give him a mention.
Yeah.
It's a friend of mine. His name is Raphael White. He does security work and he does investigation work, and he's actually doing a lot of stuff for me on the side to help me out in my situation. So I mean, if you can look him up, it's Raphael White. He's a funny guy too. But yeah, he's really helping me out. And if you need any investigative work or any security work, check him out. Good dude.
Absolutely. Aaron?
I don't have anything. Just
you ain't got a Raphael White?
No.
Say goodbye, Aaron.
Goodbye, Aaron.